Welcome to the Catholic Cafe, where Catholic truth is served fresh daily. We've made you a reservation in the luxurious corner booth, so come on in and see what's on the menu today. Now, here's your host, Deacon Jeff Drzemski.
Greetings and welcome to the Catholic Cafe. I'm Deacon Jeff, sitting in the luxurious corner booth of the Catholic Cafe. Sitting here with Venerable Tom Dorian.
Hello.
Waiting on that miracle.
Yes.
And Ziggy Rodriguez.
That's me.
And so we're going to do an interesting show today. We've gotten a lot of feedback, by the way, guys.
Oh.
I'm really excited by the feedback we're getting. People love to hear us just sit and pontificate. We don't have three popes in the room. We have zero popes in the room. But I think some people are what's resonating with a lot of folks, at least from the email. By the way, Deacon Jeff at thecatholiccafe.com. Send me an email. I'd love to hear from you. Mm-hmm. People just love to hear us chat.
Oh.
You know, and I think.
I thought you were going to talk about the Catholic give.
Oh, I give Catholic?
Giving Catholic, yeah.
That, well, you know what, people? I hope they resonate with that.
Have you gotten zero feedback on that or a lie?
No, I haven't gotten any feedback because we just started.
Okay.
It's like, well, we got $40 million in the bank right now. We don't have any money. We have zero money in the bank.
We're trying to raise $50,000, right?
Yes, we're trying to raise $50,000 because we need all new equipment. We want to put this thing on. We want to do a video version of this podcast.
It's scary.
It is scary, but, you know, we'll all lose weight. We'll go to the, you know, Sam will trim his beard and, you know. It'll be great, but the point is we can reach so many more people. We have so many. We want to reach out to more people because we're getting a lot of positive feedback, and I would just love to expand this ministry. And you'll be able to help us do that by finding The Catholic Cafe radio and podcast on I Give Catholic on December 3rd on that day. It's a great opportunity, and you can search for it just by going to I Give Catholic to their website and then searching for The Catholic Cafe, or you can just Google I Give Catholic and Memphis, and when you do that, you'll find the Diocese of Memphis. You'll find their I Give Catholic page, and we'll be listed there as a ministry of the Diocese of Memphis. So different ways to do that, but we look forward to I Give Catholic, and this is the first time we've done it. And we're going to see if we can't try to get some support so that we can expand our ministry. So thanks for bringing that up.
Yeah, it'll be fun to see.
Venerable Tom.
You're welcome.
In the feedback that we get, I think I don't want to say that we're just like – we are just like regular guys in a lot of ways.
I am.
You're extremely regular. That may have been taken the wrong way. But the point is, we are. And I like to think that we utilize every man's theology here, where in terms of understanding like the church's beautiful teachings, her doctrine, the theology, the ecclesiology, the liturgy, all these different things. There are experts at these things, and then there are guys like us who kind of like take those words of the experts and just kind of dumb them down for ourselves. Mm-hmm. So we can kind of understand what they're saying and what they're meaning, and I think it's important for all of us to do that. And I know, I think that resonates with a lot
Which
of
is why the show today is on the hypostatic union.
I'm just kidding. No, it's not, actually. It's not. I have static electricity. It's like when my socks stick together. I know all about that. So
right.
The hypostatic union of socks, I know that. But anyway, I think that let's talk a little bit today about, like, I think the elephant in the room is the politics of the nation. I don't want to do a show on politics, but I think doing a show on division is kind of important.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting, as we get near the end of the liturgical year, this is the week before, so this is the 32nd week of Ordinary Time. I'm sorry, 33rd week, 33rd Sunday of Ordinary Time, which is the week before Christ the King, which is the last Sunday of Ordinary Time. And always, when we have that 33rd Sunday, we're going to be talking about end times and prophecies and the end of the world and et cetera, et cetera. All done in the light. It's not supposed to be a doomsday week, right, or weekend. It's supposed to be focusing us and preparing us on Jesus, who is our Lord Jesus Christ, King of the universe, and that our focus is supposed to be on Him. Right, so it's not like we talk doomsday, although we end up talking about, you know, the skies will be darkened and all these things. I mean, in fact, the Gospel of Mark says, in those days after that tribulation, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light and the stars will be falling from the sky and the powers in the heavens will be shaken, right? You hear things like that. And I think that after we've come through a very, very divisive election cycle, and really the state of the, I'll just say the nation, but really it's the world, the state of things can lead someone after hearing that first paragraph, think like, I think the stars are falling out of the sky now. Mm-hmm. You know, I think this is it. It's the end times. And I, you know, we're also very cautious to remind people, or very, we should remind people emphatically that no one knows the day or the hour. You know, scriptures are clear.
Spoiler alert on the end of this gospel reading.
That's, well, okay, it's not a spoiler since it's a 2,000-year-old gospel. I do want to make sure that people don't start thinking that, like, the end times are here and that's what we're saying. We're not.
Well, that being said, at the same time, there is, I think, by there's reports that people in who are living from the movement into the year 1000, right, experience some millennial concerns, right, about the state of the world and what does this mean, you know. And we certainly experienced that going into 2000. You know, there was Y2K and all of this other stuff.
Right.
And right after that, you had 9/11. And we've had a pretty eventful century so far.
Yes.
You can pack a lot. A lot's been packed into, a quarter century, a little less than a quarter century. We've seen a lot more, you know, sort of activity than a lot 100%. Of centuries have seen.
And if you're a Jehovah's Witness, I mean, next Wednesday is the end of the world. Right? So they've changed the date a lot. But the point is, people think that. People really feel like it's the end times. And there's a part of me that sometimes goes like, wow, I know what it must have been like 1,000 years ago or 500 years ago in you know, one of the great schisms of the universe, you know, when the Reformation happened. You know, I would imagine where people think like, I think it's the end. I think Jesus is coming back. You know, and I don't want us to go there. I don't want us to think that, like, well, if this particular person you voted for didn't win, or if they did win, that this is a sign for somebody that the world is ending, mm-hmm. that the nation's going to fold up and that everything's going to end with some big nuclear bomb. You know, it's just going to be a horrible whatever, or that people are going to have to stay in their homes. It's just like people go to extremes about those things. And the thing is, At the end of the day, if you're looking at the readings, right, what you start to find out is that there's a reason why we're talking about the end times, right? Because essentially it's a version of Advent. It's an understanding that Jesus is coming, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah, he comes to us in three ways, right? In history, in mystery, and majesty, right? And he came to us in the flesh, in the original incarnation expression, right? And he comes to us in the Mass. And he comes to us in mystery, and he comes to us also through prayer and various other encounters with him in mystery. And then, yes, our faith teaches that eventually he will come in majesty. But in terms of on a cloud of glory, as this is, you know, describing, but at the same time, you know, as you pointed to at the end of this gospel reading for this Sunday, but of that day or hour, no one knows. And I think that we do have to have a degree of humility about there's that impulse to want to say, oh, I know the day of the hour. We're not supposed to know the day of the hour.
Or worse than that,
know.
Sam, yeah. I think it's like, but you know what? I don't know the day or the hour, but it's now.
Right.
It's that there's a lot of people that feel that way.
Right.
Now, I will say that it's always it's good to remind ourselves that even in a very divisive nation that we're in, a divisive world, and a very confused world in many ways, even in that setting, one of the nice things about the 33rd and the 34th Sundays of Ordinary Time, 34th being the Christ the King, that last Sunday of Ordinary Time that prepares us for Advent, you know, even in that setting, it's also getting ready to start the holidays.
Right.
I mean, there's something to be noted about that. You know, in the United States, we have Thanksgiving coming up. And then we have, like, the Christmas season has already started in stores. But we have Advent coming up where we can prepare for the Christmas season in a profound way. And for some people, that involves watching Elf and eating Chex Mix. And for other people, it means going to Mass. For some people like me, it means both, right? You know? And the thing is, it's amazing how things are, I think, supposed to work together. So when we are most divided, you should think about in your life, where do you feel most at home? Where do you feel most loved? Where do you feel like you are most accepted for who you are because of who you are, not because of what you believe or what you say or how you wear your hair or who you voted for, right? Where is that place? And what I would posit is that place, whether you believe it or not, is actually your family.
I agree.
Yeah, and I think, Tom, you would agree.
I second that.
Yeah, because that it should be. And if it's not, or if it's not the first thing that comes to mind, and you think, well, no, it's really the people that I agree with politically, or it's really the people that I agree with morally or socially or intellectually, then I think there's a problem, because you were born into a family for a reason. Mm-hmm. Or we've done shows on salvation that comes to us through the family, the whole idea that that Jesus was born into a family, a father and a mother. Mm-hmm. And even though it's a stepfather and Joseph was biologically unnecessary to the equation, God said you are necessary to the equation. I want Jesus to be born, our Savior, to be born in the context of a husband and wife. Mm-hmm. And that's why we still today call them the Holy Family, to be a model for all families. And so family is supposed to be the place where our salvation really comes to fruition, mm-hmm. right? It's through Jesus Christ in the family, though. That's how he's working through the family, not through the nation, mm-hmm. not through the political system, not through the intellectual system, the universities or you know, the great teachers of society, you know, not even the philosophers. It's really the very core, the place where you were born. Mm-hmm. And I know some people don't have great families. Mm-hmm. I recognize that. But then we have, like, an opportunity. We should see in that an opportunity to make our family a better place, a better situation, to really to bring healing to the family and be an instrument of healing in your own family. Even if, like, you think all your other family members are idiots because of who they voted for or because of what they think or what they believe. Mm-hmm. When I think that way, when I'm tempted to think that way, mm-hmm. when I start to think, like, you know, why do they think that? I didn't ever teach them that. It doesn't take me long. And Bess is somebody who humbles me every once in a while. Like, remember what you used to think. When I was a kid, when I was younger, I thought things that I don't think now, you know, right. And that teaches me that we're on a journey. And as impatient as I may be with certain, like, children or, in-laws or family friends or whatever, as soon as I start going, like, why? What are they, knuckleheads? Do they not see this as obvious as I do? Mm-hmm. The reality is I just have to be reminded that, like, I was really off the rails. Mm-hmm. As a younger man, and I'm if you don't believe miracles exist, in this day and age, just look in the mirror and look at where you are now. It's what I do, and go, like, wow, okay, I never saw myself where I am right now. That's a miracle, mm-hmm. compared to where I was 30, 40, 50 years ago.
And if some of the people out in the radio land are concerned about this coming Thanksgiving because they're sort of bracing themselves for potentially any sort of negative interactions, heated conversations, hopefully that won't happen. But if any of you out there are concerned already about these holiday gatherings, including Thanksgiving, well, now is the time to start praying for those people and to start fasting for those people and to start really reflecting upon what are things that you can do to be a peacemaker in those situations, right? And I say this for a couple of reasons. One, when someone just generally, separate from all this that we're talking about, just generally speaking, if someone comes at you in a heated way, that doesn't mean, just because that might have gotten you sort of hot and wanting to bring heat as well, that doesn't mean that that's necessarily a good thing, right? I mean, we have the choice to de-escalate. We have the choice to kind of turn things down. And Christ said, you know, blessed are the peacemakers. That's one of, they will be called children of God. That's one of the Beatitudes. That's part of living Christian life, right? And so finding that mode of de-escalation that might work within the context of these relationships is actually a part of living a Christian life, right? And so is fasting and praying for the people we love, for our relationships, and also if they're people that we might struggle to love, but they're still within the unit that comes together, right, for holiday gatherings, making the choice to love them, making the choice to pray for them. Not so you can go and tell them, hey, you know, I've been praying for you, you know, or anything like that, because that's not going to necessarily go over well, depending on who they are, unless they happen to be a prayerful person, and that's part of their personality, too. But simply just to, you know, we're getting ready for Thanksgiving, we can stop and ask ourselves, okay, I know this or that person is coming over for Thanksgiving, and I know that we haven't really had a lot of great interactions over the years. I want to... Lord, help me be thankful for this person, and also
all of this person,
and also help me come up with ways that I can communicate that gratitude. Because imagine if there is a relationship that's strained. A lot of times, when there's a strained relationship, there's a frigidity where people feel like, oh, this person really doesn't like me. Well, imagine if when they walked into your house, or you walked into their house, or whatever the setting might be. And you opened up by just pulling them aside and said, you know what, this is Thanksgiving. I want to let you know I'm thankful for you because of blank, and giving some concrete, heartfelt reason. You know what? Maybe it's going to be well received, or maybe not. That's out of your control. But what isn't in your control is to do your best to try to be a peacemaker, to do your best to try to bring a little warmth and a little love to the situation.
Yeah, and you know, at the very least, I don't usually do the I'm thankful for.
Yeah.
Part, because it sounds like it might sound strained, like you're forcing
it. Sure.
So I'm more of the believer of just go and give them a hug and say, I'm so glad you're here. Come on in. Let's have a drink, or let's, you know, whatever. I just think that the holidays are a great opportunity for people just to bask in the things that they remember as children, that they're just good. They're good things. That's why people love Christmas time. They love watching Frosty the Snowman. I don't know, you know, you can't look at all that stuff theologically all the time, and ultimately I think all that good stuff really is supposed to point to Jesus and go, well, this is the reason for the season ultimately. But at the end of the day, if we don't even have to talk about Jesus during the holidays, let's just hug. I'm glad you're here. I mean, you know, in the Old Testament in Jeremiah, we hear about the healing balm of Gilead, how soothing it is. And the reality is there's biblical scholars that actually say that was like the first Chex Mix was back then in Gilead, and that the healing balm. And I think that Chex Mix is a healing balm. Tom,
it's plausible.
I know.
I believe it.
You've experienced my Chex Mix, haven't you?
Oh, we both have.
By the way, hard lesson.
I can't bring it to here because Sam sits there and just eats it the whole time. The crunch, I have to put the crunch filter on his microphone.
By the way, lesson learned, when you're visiting, going through the Gilead International Airport, do not sing "There Is a Balm in Gilead." Yeah. It doesn't go over well with security.
No, that can be problematic. So I think, you know, using opportunities like the holidays, like the gatherings that come at the holidays, I've got a big family. My wife she's one of 15 kids. We have 9 kids. I've got, you know, we had a smaller family myself. I have had 3 brothers. And the thing is, but when you add all that together and add all the people, and then you have all of the in-laws and cousins and nieces and nephews, and you put everybody together, it's really, when you look at that room, if they ever come together in the bigger gatherings, it's a microcosm for the nation. And it's you can be negative and say, look at all the divided people in here. Or you can say, look at the amazing gift that we have, that all these people are here really in our experience because of 2 people. Mm-hmm. Like, so my in-laws, you know, Mimi and Vic Truey, who had 15 kids, they're still with us, that we just celebrated their 70th wedding anniversary. And then all of the 200 whatever grandkids – And when you add all of that up, you're going like, this entire room is here celebrating because of just those two people. We have something that unites all of us, mm-hmm. right? We don't, this is, this, we're not separate. Yeah, we all go our separate ways and we're all on these journeys and we're all over the spectrum, literally, you know, in how we exist and what we think and how we process things, what we believe. But the reality is there is something that unites us. And that's why I think that family at the holidays is probably the single most important thing that we can physically do so that then when we do that, when you start thinking like, why does this feel so good? Ultimately, I'm hoping that leads to a conversation about Jesus Christ, right? It's we do this because God intended us to live in the context of a family. This would be our safe place. This would be the place that we're loved. And if you have a broken, damaged family, I mean, there's terrible, you know, poxes on all of our houses. You know, there's alcoholism. There's sexual issues and morality. And there's just infidelity. There are things that lead to broken families. And I don't want us to you know, read the Gospel of Mark this coming Sunday and only see the darkened sun and the moon no longer giving light and then wars and rumors of wars and earthquakes and all these things that talk about. I don't want people to think that. I want them to think like, where am I going to be safe when it's dark, when the sun goes out? Where am I going to be safe? And think like, you know, of all the places on the earth, the only place I really feel safe ultimately is that place that raised me and nurtured me. And even if there's a brokenness there, it was still intended to be that place for you. Because I promise you, the world outside your family is more broken and less fulfilling. Mm-hmm. And that may be hard for some people to hear and a challenge. And so regardless of, let's just say because we came out of the election, and we don't want to make this show about politics. It's the last thing I want to do. But politics has divided our country. Mm-hmm. You know, and I don't want to say somebody was right and somebody was wrong. Regardless of who was right and who was wrong, there's a division there, right? And so our job is to heal the division. Our job, our work in progress, the thing that we're called to do is to heal that. And that's not necessarily to confront it, to argue with it, to debate it, but to be in a safe, trusting place where eventually you can discuss it. Mm-hmm. But maybe not now. Maybe now we'll just hug it out. Maybe now is the time just to show nothing but love and acceptance, regardless of who the person is. And I, you know, I've got, you know, family where kids are doing things not what their parents have taught them, you know, and then they're wanting to separate. They're wanting to create a division. You know, just don't let that happen. Just refuse to be separated. Mm-hmm. Even if they try and push you away, you can't make them stay. But at the same time,
you can make them feel welcome.
You can make them feel welcome
and loved.
Yeah, and eventually, I promise you, eventually that comes around. People go like, you know, I can hate you or I can say I hate you, but I just can't do it for very long before I start realizing I miss you. And like kids especially, they'll start to remember Christmases as kids. They'll start to remember birthdays as kids. They'll start to remember that time that you helped do this or helped do that, and they're going to see beyond what they might think that you are just a list of political opinions, you know, that you are just a rule monger. You know, they're going to see beyond that, start going like, you know, I have come to realize that you love me, you know, and even in your brokenness, you do love me. And so that's all I need to see. Now that may take a while. Mm-hmm. It's not something that's going to happen overnight necessarily, but I think it starts with you.
Well, an unconditional love, it's the only thing that brings unconditional love about is struggle, right? Unconditional love, we can say we love somebody unconditionally, but until those conditions have been stressed, right? Until things have happened that make a crisis imminent in the relationship, and yet love conquers, right? And love conquers that crisis and covers it. You own, that's the measure of unconditional love, right? Is and so,
well, the whole idea of unconditional love is there's no conditions on it,
right? I mean, right.
That's what it's called, but unconditional
but
love.
Someone
right?
says I love you unconditionally. That's one thing to say it, but it's another thing to witness it, yeah. By still loving that person, right? Even when that love is put to the test, in ways that other person thinks is it's impossible to still be loved.
Mm-hmm. Right? No, I agree 100%. The other advice I will give people, especially people who are struggling in their family relationships, is now is not the time to discover the root of the argument.
Yeah.
Now is not the time. And that's all I would just say, because I don't want to deny that there is truth. I'm not going to. In fact, that's what Jesus says in the Gospel of Luke, where he says, I have come to set the earth on fire, and how I wish it were already blazing. There's a baptism with which I must be baptized, and how great is my anguish until it is accomplished. Do you think that I have come to establish peace on earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. People go like, wait, we should discuss this division now, because I don't want my kids to be on the wrong side of that line. Understand that we believe that Jesus drew a line in the sand and said, here on this side is where you need to be. This is truth. The other side is untruth. But the reality is, how we process that doesn't mean that Jesus is saying, I want you to go and separate your families. He talks about separating father from son and mother from daughter and things like that, because people are pigheaded, and we will ultimately do that. But I firmly believe that Jesus also wants us to try to heal that divide, that he wants us to be healers in the name of Jesus, who is the great healer, right? The divine healer. And if we see it from that perspective, just sometimes healing takes time. You go to the hospital, you're not like out of there and like, I'm 100% better. You know, usually it's a longer hospital stay, and then there's a time of recuperation. Or therapy, or a time of rehabilitation that has to happen, you know, after a major accident or surgery or something like that. And so that's what we need to experience, and that's what these holidays are, an opportunity for us to come back to family, to love our family, and to be loved in our family. Let's ask the Blessed Mother to help us in this quest. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and the hour of our death. Amen.
Thanks for listening to The Catholic Cafe. If you'd like to contact Deacon Jeff, send him an email at deaconjeff@thecatholiccafe.com. Visit us on the web at thecatholiccafe.com. You can also find us on iTunes or follow us on Facebook and Twitter. The Catholic Cafe is brought to you by the Order of Malta Federal Association. Join us again at the Catholic Cafe, serving up salvation one cup of coffee at a time.